So change the seasons within us this day so we may go out to change the seasons in our world. Bless us and keep us as we hear your word this morning. Amen. Please be seated. Our reading from this morning is from Colossians, the first chapter, starting at verse number 15 and concluding at verse number 23. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Christ all things in heaven and on earth were created, through visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is before all things, and in Christ all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Christ might come to have first place in everything. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ God was pleased to reconcile God's self to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, Christ is now reconciled in Christ's fleshly body through death, so as to present your holy and blameless and irreproachable before God, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a minister of this gospel. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Good morning. When I was a student at Wheaton College in the early 1990s, I participated in the Hunger, Human Needs and Global Resources program. The Hunger program is one of the reasons I chose Wheaton. I was super excited to study in a developing nation in a holistic program that combined classroom study, a field-based service learning internship, and immersion in another culture. In May of 1992, I started my six-month internship, going to remote parts of Nicaragua and working with the Nicaraguan Development Agency, which was involved with peace work there. Less than 2 months in, on July 14, 1992, I was in the Hospital Batista in Managua, Nicaragua, with two fractured vertebrae from a car accident. A departing gift for all hunger interns as we set out to our solo internships across the globe was a copy of the devotional, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, which is a classic. I sat, poorly flat, in my hospital bed and read the entry for July 16th, 2 days after my accident. It starts where Jesus says that earthly parents aren't going to give their kids rocks if they ask for bread, or snakes if they ask for fish, and concludes, "How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Oswald Chambers says, "By the simple argument of these verses, Jesus urges us to keep our minds filled with the notions of God's control behind everything, which means that the disciple must maintain an attitude of perfect trust and an eagerness to ask and to seek. Notion your mind with the idea that God is there. If once the mind is notioned along that line, then when you are in difficulties, it is as easy as breathing to remember, why, my Father knows all about it. God is my Father, he loves me. I shall never think of anything he will forget. Why should I worry? There are times, says Jesus, when God cannot lift the darkness from you, but trust him. Nothing happens in any particular unless God's will is behind it. Therefore, you can rest in perfect confidence in him." In the margins of this page, I wrote, "Go God," in big capital letters. This passage, this mindset, got me through the next year. I had to return to the U.S., had two different back braces. I went back to Nicaragua wearing one of these from October to December of that year to finish my internship. And generally, I felt physically fragile and vulnerable for a long time after. I read that Oswald Chambers page over and over and over again. My big comfort, God knows all about it. He is in control, and he loves me so much more than my earthly parents ever could. I love my own son, who's making some noise. This is sovereignty, God's omni-qualities, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, big words that don't always speak to us. My accident was a pivotal time in my life of notioning my mind that God is there and that he knows all about it. Inevitably, sovereignty and divine control raise questions of suffering for which there are no easy answers. Even when the darkness is not lifted, this is supposed to be enough. One of my fellow hunger interns went off to live among the poor in India and was diagnosed with a fatal brain tumor and died within days of having her first child. Years later, I heard that her husband stopped asking God why all this happened. My Sunday school just did a study on sovereignty and on suffering. A woman shared of intense pain that she had for years. She would just sit at home all day and rock back and forth for most of the day. She finally concluded that God was not interested in her pain. He was interested in her faith in him. He wanted her focus on him. And of course, when Job finally questions God about his suffering, God basically answers, "Who are you to question me? I am God. I'm in charge. Where were you when I made the world and gave understanding to the mind and all that stuff?" It sounds harsh and oh so foreign to us unless we have absolute confidence that this absolute sovereign ruler, God, is loving. That Oswald Chambers passage gave me so much comfort, not just because it told me that God knew all about my great disappointment and my fears about healing, but because it also reminded me that this God who knows all about it loves me so much more than anyone else ever can. In that Sunday school discussion, as several of us shared stories of suffering, a dominant theme was the great comfort we had in knowing that God knew all about it. He knows, but of course it is the good character of the one who knows that really matters. To some, this sovereign God sounds like a big megalomaniac in the sky. On the one hand, we have this intimate view of a parent who loves us, who would not shower us with stones when we ask for bread. But on the other hand, we have a majestic, exalted ruler over all, who wants to be worshipped. And I think there's beautiful tension here. God, in all his sovereign glory, is jealous for me. He wants me to spend time with him and worship him. He values me, knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows me. At the same time, my petty worries and cares are insignificant compared to his greatness. After all, he's got the whole world in his hands. Who am I when he knows and controls all things? The passage we read from Colossians says, "He is before all things, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I'm so glad, because I don't know if you have this problem too, but I cannot hold all things together, and pity me if I thought I was doing that. The song we sing today, or we will sing in a moment, "Overcome" is the name of it, shouts, "All authority, every victory is yours." And when I sing that line, it's like my vision is palpably altered. Baggage and burden slough off me, and my whole being gets a zoom in to God who has all in control. The worries and cares of this life, the children in Syria, my to-do list, all the things I was thinking about when I was mouthing words to songs in church fall away from me and either drop into nothingness or get picked up by my God who has all authority and every victory and knows all about it. I think it's a little taste of going to heaven. In those moments, I recognize and dwell in that beautiful tension that God loves me so intimately that I can give him all my stuff, big and little, to deal with because he cares for little old me, and that ultimately he has a plan beyond time and place, and once so much of that stuff doesn't matter anyway, and I am only one in the great big world. I am both significant and his focus, and I am insignificant, and all my focus is on him. Or perhaps the better truth is that I am most significant when my focus is on him. Do you like God? Or in the face of human suffering or even just daily stress, do you struggle with God? I do struggle with God's sovereignty. It's kind of scary to me. And I do struggle at times to remember that he loves me. Those lessons from Oswald Chambers, July 14, 1992, I am still notioning in my mind that God is in control. C.S. Lewis got it right in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. "Who is Aslan?" asked Susan. "Aslan," said Mr. Beaver. "Why, don't you know? He's the king. He's the lord of the whole wood." "Is he a man?" asked Lucy. "Aslan a man?" said Mr. Beaver sternly. "Certainly not. I tell you, he is the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Aslan is a lion, the great lion." "Ooh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie, no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "Then he isn't safe," said Lucy. "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you."
Oh, Please receive this blessing as we go forth this day. Know that whatever is happening in your life on this day, whatever suffering or questioning, pain or even joy, God is present with you, within you, and among you. So let us go in peace to love one another in that same spirit.